Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. It is, of course, 2 days after Labor Day, and it's getting into the home stretch. Really, there's just the debates. And then comes November, and you're going to have to pull the lever for some presidential candidate or stay home and not vote. And the only two that have a chance of winning are Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. Now, I've talked at length why I'm a big fan of Hillary Clinton. If you haven't heard that, you're welcome to call in and find out. It's really partly because I've worked with her and I know her to be a detailed, brilliant person with a lot of heart who cares a lot about how to help the country. I think a lot of the criticism against her has been unfair. But I have to admit, like most Americans, I'm more interested in the Trump phenomenon, what I've been calling Trumpism, because I don't know that it's necessarily Republicanism, and maybe not quite fascism, not sure what it is. But I want to discuss today the source of all things Trumpist. Not so much the man itself. I think that even Donald Trump supporters would have to concede that he's not really up on policy. He doesn't really have any detailed proposals. He really doesn't have any particular specific ideas of how to help the country. And I think that even Donald Trump supporters would agree that the guy, he's on all sides of every issue, that he lies a lot. When he says that he's going to build a wall and Mexico's going to pay for it, it's a joke. It's funny. They don't think it's going to happen. Donald Trump doesn't think it's going to happen. No one does. So why would people vote for someone whom they know to be a liar and a con man, a person who has made it very clear he doesn't have much interest in policy, a man, in fact, who offered the vice presidency to John Kasich and told John Kasich if he became his vice president, Donald Trump would give him both power over domestic policy and foreign policy? It's hard to imagine what policies are left. When Donald Trump's son, Don Jr., was asked by Kasich's people, was asked by John Kasich, because John Kasich has said he personally had this conversation with Donald Trump's son. If you gave me domestic policy and foreign policy, what would Donald Trump have left to do? Donald Trump Jr. said that Donald Trump would be in charge of, quote, making America great again.
What?
So that's it. That's what Donald's going to do. Someone else will be in charge of domestic policy. Someone else will be charged in foreign policy. Things that go on within the United States would be in control of one person. Things that go on outside the United States would be in the control of someone else. And things that mean nothing, Donald Trump is all over it. But what does this mean? Well, I think everyone doesn't really have a meaning to it. But let's explore it. Make America great again. It's only four words. What does it mean? It means, number one, America is not great. If we're going to make it great again, it is clearly not great. So you have to dislike America and where we are as a country right now. And you have to believe that there was one time in the past when America was great. Right? That's all Make America Great Again means. It means America was a wonderful country, and it's a terrible country now, and Donald Trump will make it wonderful again, but will not specify how. The real question, and shockingly, no one in the press has asked Donald this, is when was America great? It's a fair question. I mean, given that the man has zero policy proposals, and the few that he has articulated, he has contradicted, like immigration. Will he or won't he build a deportation force to round up and deport 11 million people, tearing children away from parents, raise everybody's taxes double in order to do it? We don't know. He said he would. He said he wouldn't. What would he do about ISIS? Well, first he said that the generals have no idea what they're talking about, that he's smarter than all the generals. And now he just came out and said that he would give the generals 30 days, 30 days to tell him what to do. Well, Donald, I thought you had a plan, a secret plan, and you were smarter than the generals. And now you're giving them 30 days to tell you what to do? Why 30 days? Why not 30 minutes? What's your problem, Donald? Pretty lax with those generals. So he has no plans. He has no ideas. And what's fascinating is if you ask his supporters what his plans are, what his ideas are, they're all over the map. They contradict each other. And many supporters recognize he has none. And by the way, this is an interesting prelude, because a week from tomorrow, I'll be going to West Virginia, one of the reddest states in the United States. I'll be going to a city, Morgantown or Clarksburg. We haven't quite figured out which, but places that are more than 90% white, places that are working class people. This is the heart of Trumpism. And I want to explore the heart of Trumpism. This is kind of what I'm telling you what I expect to find, and we'll find out when I get there. I think the sources of Trumpism are two words, two emotions, hatred and fear. I don't think it has anything to do with thought. If there were a rational reason to support Donald Trump, it would have been articulated. It's not based on policy, and most people vote for a president based on policy. It's not based on character. After all, this is a man who bribes officials, consorts with the mafia. This is a man who won't release his tax returns, and who most scholars believe it's because Vladimir Putin, the dictator of Russia, America's greatest enemy, likely has his fingers into Donald Trump. You see, after declaring bankruptcy so many times that American banks wouldn't lend him a dime, he went to Russian banks under the control of Vladimir Putin. So we could be electing as our president Vladimir Putin. The Putin-Trump ticket. Note I don't say Trump-Putin, because I think Putin would be in charge. After all, Donald Trump doesn't have any ideas on America, but I'm sure Vladimir Putin could give him some ideas. What do you think is hidden in Donald Trump's tax returns? Why don't you think he'll disclose it, which every presidential candidate has done for, well, since the 1970s, at least. That's almost 50 years. And Hillary Clinton herself has disclosed 40 years of her tax returns. So it's not based on character, right? This is a guy who apparently not only married an illegal immigrant and his wife, which is okay with me, by the way. I'm not knocking undocumented immigrants. I'm just saying it's hypocritical to say I want to deport all 11 million except my wife. Right? I mean, that's I'll separate other people's families, but not mine. No, that doesn't make sense. But who has regularly attacked good people, Gold Star families, Mexicans, Muslims, women. In fact, his modeling business basically meant bringing a bunch of undocumented immigrants into this country, sticking them all in a hotel room, and mistreating them, much as he mistreated all the saps, the gullible people who plunked down money to go to, quote, Trump University, unquote, which wasn't a university and wasn't taught by Donald Trump. Basically, it was a bunch of YouTube videos that people paid $30,000 to watch. Or all the people that he defrauded who did work for him, right? You know, he'd build this hotel, he'd hire this good cabinet maker, the cabinet maker would make all the cabinets and 200 hotel rooms and then wouldn't be paid. When he sued Donald Trump said, look, I'm never going to settle this lawsuit. I'm never going to pay you the full amount you're due. And then, but I will settle for 40% on the dollar. Take it, or you're just going to spend all your money on legal fees. Donald Trump is the classic example of how the system is weighted in heavily in favor of very rich people. Right? We all know that innocent people go to jail for murder. But rank murderers, people like O.J. Simpson, don't go to jail because they can buy really good legal representation. People like Donald Trump don't pay their taxes. I believe it was Leona Helmsley that said, only the little people pay taxes. Donald Trump almost certainly didn't pay his. And if you don't think it's right, well, the question is, why won't he release his tax returns? Compare that to Hillary Clinton. The FBI investigated her, found she did nothing wrong, nothing criminal. They had a few criticisms, but nothing criminally wrong. And that's all that the FBI is supposed to look at, is criminal problems. And under regulation, they're not supposed to release any elements of an investigation of an innocent person. Innocent people should not be raked through the coals of the press. The FBI disregarded their own regulations, released this to embarrass Hillary Clinton. Well, ask yourself, why isn't the IRS doing the same? The IRS is investigating Donald Trump. Now, maybe they'll find tax evasion, and maybe they won't. If they do find tax evasion, I guess he'd have to be impeached and thrown in jail. I don't know. But even if they don't find tax evasion, shouldn't they at least release their investigation? After all, the FBI found Hillary Clinton was a completely innocent person, and yet they released stuff. Shouldn't the IRS release Donald Trump's tax returns? So the reason to vote for Donald Trump can't be based on policy, and it can't be based on character. It has to be based on culture. It has to be based on people who have this ultimate faith that government can never do good, and frankly hate a lot of their fellow Americans and their country itself. Let's think about why that is. The biggest appeal to Donald Trump is racism. I'm not going to say that if you support Donald Trump, you're ipso facto a racist, though I do think there's a good chance of it. I do, however, think if you're racist, you absolutely support Donald Trump. You have to. He is the most racist candidate for president we've had since the civil rights era. Blatantly, openly racist. Racist against blacks, racist against Mexicans, racist against Muslims, misogynistic. So that's a strong reason. But also, if you hate your country, if you don't like not just where your country is headed, because it isn't about policy, remember. None of this is about policy. But if you don't like who your country is, what your country is about. And the main thing that Trumpists dislike about their country is that we are a diverse country. We're not an all-white nation. We're not an all-Christian nation. We're not an all-Protestant Christian evangelical nation based of Southern older white men who are all uneducated. We're just not that nation. There are those people in our nation, but they don't have power over all the rest of us. Not anymore. So they hate their fellow Americans. They hate their country. Or many of them just hate themselves. They're upset with their lives. I think when I go to West Virginia, I'm going to find a lot of people who are upset with their own lives. Some of it, by the way, is not their fault. Outsourcing, globalization, these trends larger than all of us, larger even than the President of the United States, have killed manufacturing jobs in America. That's why a lot of them appeal to Donald Trump's rhetoric on trade, although, again, Trump's been all over the map on trade. He can't seem to consistently hold a position on virtually anything. And I think there's this cultural thing that you hear in this vicious hatred of Hillary Clinton. They're ready to believe anything about her. And I want to think about why that's true. What is it about Hillary Clinton that causes people to be so crazily angry? And what are they fearful of? What is the Trumpist fearful of? I don't know. All I hear is hate and fear. I would like your opinion on it, though. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Give me a call when you get a chance.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about the sources of Trumpism. We know they're not policy, and we know they're not character. So what's left? I say it's hatred and fear. What do you say? 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go to Ishmael in Virginia on line two. How are you?
Hello, Mark. Thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Good, good. Excellent. I agree with you 100%. I think it's really hate. That's what it is. And it's just stirred up by Donald Trump. And I think it, a couple of shows ago, you made a great point. It's basically it's what happening right now is what Republicans always wanted to say, but they were never allowed to say it. Trump came in and basically said it for them.
Yeah, they took away the dog whistles and just decided to use a bullhorn instead.
Exactly, exactly. And you made that such a great point. And the other thing I wanted to ask you, is Donald Trump violating any election policy by not disclosing all his finances? I mean,
he's not touch base on that? Sure, he's not violating the law. There is no law that requires a presidential candidate to disclose his or her taxes. There is a practice that has existed for about half a century, and every single political candidate, at least since Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford, and I think even predating that, has disclosed their taxes in full. Some only do 1 or 2 years. I know Mitt Romney was criticized for only doing, I think, 1 year. Hillary Clinton has done 40 years. Mm-hmm. But everyone does at least a year. There is no law, although they're talking now about putting a law in and requiring it. I guess people thought that no one would be so arrogant as to not release their tax returns because it would hurt them politically. Yet it's interesting. They've taken a poll of voters because Donald Trump says voters don't care about my taxes. 74% of voters have said they care about his taxes. That has to include some of his supporters because he has, you know, sometimes he's as low as the high 30s, but he's never as low as 26%. So even his own supporters want him to release his taxes, and he's not. And the main reason why, and this is really very interesting, is probably because of his connections to the mafia and to the Russian government. You see, Donald Trump defaulted so many times, declared bankruptcy so many times, that American banks stopped lending him money.
Wow, and that's a good point.
Right now, companies owned by Donald Trump, this is a report in the New York Times, hold at least $650 million in debt. In fact, according to the New York Times, his campaign disclosures don't disclose this. So according to the New York Times, he has lied on his campaign disclosures, by the way, would be a felony. But we can't, well, and he calls himself the king of debt, but we wouldn't be able to find out unless we looked at his tax returns. Also, in addition to $650 million, most of his wealth is in three investments that owed an additional $2 billion.
Wow.
The question is, who does he own it to? And most people think it's Russian banks under the control of dictator Vladimir Putin. So there's a reason why he's so pro-Putin.
And I think
I'll tell you what, Ishmael, I got to take a break. And I got stay on the line with me. I'll get back to you. I got a couple other callers, too. Don't hang up other callers. Don't hang up Freddie and Bob and Terrell. I will get to all of you right after the break. If you want to join the conversation, it's 888-488-MARK. Right back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888. Aggressive, progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We have callers from North Carolina, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Colorado, and Virginia. I will get to each and every one of you. Our lines are full, but as we get done with callers, there'll still be room to call in at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Ishmael, you were first. That's why you get more time. And you had something you were saying when I had to cut out and go to break. What was that?
So, the other thing I had to say, if God elected, we have to blame the media, okay? I'm a big NBC, MSNBC fan, but they cover Trump way too much. Never in the history of candidate giving a speech was covered from start to finish. That immigration speech of penis, it was from start to finish. Hillary did not get that.
I'll tell you this. I'm not going to criticize the media for covering a speech of a presidential nominee from start to finish, although you're right that if they cover one, they have to cover the other.
Exactly.
My real concern is that they feel like they have to go negative on Trump, so they feel like they have to go equally negative on Clinton. If Donald Trump has mafia ties, $2 billion in debt, ties to the Russian mob, and ties to Vladimir Putin, it doesn't pay his taxes, then they have to spend, you know, 20 minutes on that and 20 minutes talking about Hillary Clinton's emails and whether or not one or two that were improperly marked as confidential. I mean, it's all about saying, well, this guy's committed treason and this woman used the wrong email server. Let's talk about them both equally, when obviously one is a serious crime and the other is a mistake that she should.
Absolutely. And last question right now.
Real quick.
Who do you think control right now the whole process? Is it the RNC or Trump? And I'll take my answer off the phone.
When you say the process, you mean the political process? You mean his campaign?
This train, whatever.
I think Donald Trump's in control. In fact, it's interesting. Wow. After his immigration speech, the RNC, the Republican National Committee, was all set to praise it. And then he gave the speech he gave, and they withheld their praise. I can blame the Republican Party for lots of things. I can talk about how they sowed the seeds for Donald Trump, how they tried to teach America that government could not possibly succeed in anything, and that led to the kind of cynicism that led to Donald Trump. All that's true. But right now, I think most establishment Republicans are horrified at Trumpism and kind of wish it would stop. And I think that includes Reince Priebus and the RNC. Let me get to a whole bunch of new callers. I'm glad I've got a lot of them. Let's go to, I'm going to let them skip the line because I like people who I disagree with most. Tom in North Carolina, line 5, new caller. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark.
Thanks for calling
in.
But get off the, Tom, but get off the speakerphone, all right? Pick up the handset. It'll be better on the radio, okay? Can you do that for me?
I don't know. I'm going to have to call you back.
Okay, call me back. I got lots of other callers. I'll get back to you. Yeah, get off the speakerphone. Speakerphones don't work on radio because we tend to over-talk each other. Doesn't work. He'll call back. Let's go to Freddie in New Jersey on line 1. Hey, Freddie, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? I'm like, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I just want to point out, just pick on two things right now. One with Trump. If you're a Trump voter, you're either one of these or all of these stupid, right? They're uneducated, uninformed, or you just downright hate Hillary with every ounce of blood in your body.
I think that's right. I'll tell you, your sound isn't that clear either, so I'm going to make this conversation quick. But I agree with you. If you are a Trump supporter, you're either uninformed, uneducated, or you just really, really hate other people. That's why I said it's not just fear, it's hatred. You hate your fellow Americans, you hate your country, or maybe you hate yourself and don't think you've succeeded very far. Or maybe you hate women, and that's why you hate Hillary Clinton. It's really hard to explain Trump's support because it's not based on policy and it's not based on character. It has to be based on fear and hatred. Thanks for your call, Freddie. Sorry we're not talking longer. Your sound isn't very clear. Let's go to Bob in Philadelphia, line 4. Hey, Bob, how are you?
Thank you, Marky Mark. It's funny that you're painting a broad brush there with your caller. I'm far better educated and far wealthier than both of you. I could buy and sell you. So you're 2 out of 3. Maybe I hate people, so that'll be hard to argue over a phone line. But I do have a question for you leftists. We understand that Republicans are sexist, racist, homophobic, just evil human beings. But I ask the Democrats, who are all good, all-knowing, all-compassionate.
I didn't say that.
Why would they pick Hillary Clinton, a political deviant?
Bob, you just did a bunch of name-calling. That's all you are. Is there any policy... Donald Trump's that you support over Hillary Clinton's? What are the policies?
All right, here's a policy. Politicians should never use bleach bit on a private email server. How about start?
Politicians should never. All right, so for you, for example, how Hillary Clinton treats her emails is more important to you than, say, whether or not a political candidate calls on America's greatest enemy to commit espionage against the United States. You think treason is less important than a private email server, right? See, I don't believe you, Bob. I don't believe that, Bob, I don't believe you. I don't believe you when you say that you think
think that an email server is more important than treason. I don't think so. I think your hatred of Hillary Clinton runs deeper than that.
How about taking a
Bob,
hammer?
Bob, did you hate Hillary before you knew about the emails?
What's
did you hate Hillary and Bill before you heard about the emails?
Well, I hate Bill because of the rape of Juanita Broderick in 1979. What do you think of that, my friend?
Well, I think, you know, there's an allegation that Donald Trump raped a woman, and there's a civil case about it. But you're not going to vote for Hillary Clinton because of some unproved allegation from 1979? See, that's my point, Bob. That's my point. You are full of hate. Is there any political policy that you support that Donald Trump on jobs or education or the economy or immigration, or is there any particular policy that you support Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton on, or is it all based on your hatred? You hate Hillary, you hate Bill, you hate liberals.
Hold on. Don't speak for me. I hate dishonest leftists. That's what I hate.
Dishonest leftists. Okay, so wait. Forget dishonest, because obviously you don't think Trump's been honest, do you?
Well, let me ask you something.
You don't. Okay, you're not going to answer the question. That means that you know it's true. So it's not about honesty. You hate leftists.
Let me get to my point.
Well, no, you're not going to answer my question. Do you think Donald Trump's been honest?
Mark,
do you think Donald Trump's been honest?
You're
not going to answer that question? No, do you think Donald Trump's been honest?
I'll answer your question when you answer mine.
And it doesn't work like that.
And I'll answer yours.
It doesn't work like that. Do you think Donald Trump's been honest?
Because you're afraid. You're a coward.
Do you think Donald Trump's been honest?
Don't be a coward, Mark. Let me ask you a question. Don't be a coward. Man up, Mark.
See, this I think is very typical, right? Here's man up. Don't be a coward. I just asked you a question. Just say, do you think Donald Trump's been honest? Yes, no, in between?
On what particular issue?
On his taxes.
On his what?
Taxes.
On his taxes. Let me tell you something about his taxes, unlike the emails. The taxes are in the hands of the federal government, the IRS.
They're
in the hands of the American people.
Right. Do you think it should be?
The government has them. Unlike Hillary
Do you think it should be?
Which no one has, because they took a hammer to him and beach blitz.
What do you think about that? Bob, I'll tell you what I think about that. Are you willing to disclose, Bob? Bob, are you willing to disclose every personal email you've ever sent? Bob? Bob, are you... No. Are you willing to disclose every personal email you've ever sent? Are you?
What's that?
Are you willing to disclose to the public every personal email you've ever sent? Are you?
Let me tell you something. I am a big
Because Hillary Clinton designing her daughter's wedding, I don't think it's America's business. I don't think it's America's business to know how Hillary Clinton designed her daughter's wedding. I don't.
You're not a paid radio host. What do you do for a living? How do you make your money?
I make money on the radio, and I make money as a Virginia State delegate, and I make money on television.
Okay, let me ask you something. As a Virginia, if you've ever worked in an organization, in a company, my friend, right? Like with partners or a public company. Never mind the federal government of the Secretary of State. How do you think you could ever get away with building your own email server in the private sector? Do you think you could ever get away
with
that?
Well, you know, the only people I know who got away with it were Colin Powell and Madeleine Albright and every Secretary of State and a lot of public officials, including...
You're lying.
Colin Powell. Colin Powell, you are lying, sir. Cut off his mic. Now, let me speak, and then we'll maybe let you speak. Colin Powell told Hillary Clinton... He said, I keep separate emails. And the reason I do it is two reasons. One, the State Department server isn't that good. And two, I do it so that I can hide information from the Freedom of Information Act. Hillary responded to him. This is all in the FBI transcript. She said, look, I don't want to hide information from the public. So what I'm going to do is I'll do only my private emails on my private email server. And anything classified... I'm going to enter the room and do it through the classified material. That's what she told Colin Powell. That's why she testified to the FBI. The FBI has said she did not lie to the FBI. She kept them separate. And in fact, the only thing she used in her personal emails were conversations with 13 people. People think it's all these people. No, it's just 13 people. And what's interesting is that the information that she received that was classified was all information that was improperly marked by people she worked with that said it wasn't classified, other than two portion markings, which we've talked about. Those two portion markings were improperly marked as classified when they weren't. So none of that is anything. And so you hear guys like Bob, who will tell you that he's hated Hillary and Bill since 1979. Okay, he's hated them a very, very long time. But he can't describe a single policy, immigration, education, taxes, the environment, the economy. And that's exactly my point about Trump supporters, which Bob has proved so well. They are so invested in hatred that they can't even articulate a political reason, a policy reason, a reason based on fact and logic why they support someone. Okay, Bob, your turn. Go ahead.
Okay, for your audience, since I know technology, Colin Powell used the email server of AOL, which
right.
is subpoenable. You can subpoena. You cannot bleach bit a server for AOL. So Colin Powell, so your audience knows, did not set up an email server.
Colin Powell told Hillary Clinton that he would send very little an email that he wanted to be made public.
My name is Mark. So do not say.
I got to get to a bunch of other callers.
Account is to say that you want to get to another
call. Bob, just to be clear, there's no reason other than hatred you support Donald Trump. There's no policy reason.
I got it.
So you're going to take an unproved accusation against Hillary Clinton's husband, and you're going to charge it. Well, you know what? There are more as many accusations against Donald Trump for rape as are for Hillary Clinton. Let's go to Tom in North Carolina on line five. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Mark. Yeah, I got a couple policy things. That,
good.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Go for it.
There's three biggies that swayed my my opinions. And the first was the border. Okay, I think that the laws should be enforced. Illegal people shouldn't be here. The second is the unconstitutional wars, the nation building that we're all about for the past 15 years. I think we're bombing 8 or 9 countries now. Americans can't even name them. And, you know, no act of Congress or anything. The third would be the TPP. You know, and that's got roots back 20 years ago when Newt and the boys were running the show.
I'll give you credit for naming three issues rather than just a bunch of hate. Let me go through them real quick with you. Let's start with undocumented immigrants. Are you aware, and you may be, I'm not saying you're not, are you aware what are the numbers of undocumented immigrants and the numbers of deportations, we'll do them one at a time, are higher or lower now than they were 8 years ago under George W. Bush? Do you happen to know? I mean, you may not know. You may know. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they may be higher, but the deportations, if they catch somebody at the border, they send them back at the border immediately, the minute they catch
deportation. So the facts are that there are fewer undocumented immigrants in the United States than there were 8 years ago under George W. Bush. Undocumented immigrants, people who crossed without documentation, whether overstaying a visa or across
like
the border. Well,
the things I like and the things I dislike about
Gary Johnson. So there are fewer here now.
I'm not a Bush supporter.
I understand, and deportations are higher under President Obama. But what President Obama has done is he has said, we're going to focus on criminals. We're going to focus on the people who've broken laws other than coming into this country. Do you believe, because Donald Trump hasn't been really clear on this, do you think he's going to round up and deport every one of the 11 million undocumented immigrants in this country? Do you think he will? Because I'm not clear.
No.
Do you think he'll do
90%? I don't think so.
Because he's talked about this task force that he's going to have, and then now he seemed to be backing off, and I'm just curious to know what you think he's going to do.
I don't think he's backing off. I mean, that was media hype. He hasn't changed his policy one bit. He's talking about law and order. But he's got no problem with immigrants coming here. And I don't either.
Do you think his wife was an undocumented immigrant, and do you think it matters?
Who?
Melania Trump. Melania Trump.
If she was undocumented, yes, it does matter if she was undocumented.
And if
yes.
she. Okay, so should Donald Trump have to disclose, because he's refused, should he have to disclose whether or not Melania Trump broke the United States immigration laws? Should he have to disclose that? Okay. All right. We agree on that. Why do you think he won't disclose it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't know he didn't. I thought she was here illegally, but I don't know the answer to that.
Right. Well, the question was whether before she married him, is whether she, once she marries him, she's here legally. But what's, but the question was, in the year before she married him, she was a model, and you're not allowed to work when you're here on a tourist visa. And so there's, and she, we've seen these naked pictures of her, and I'm not talking about naked pictures. The point is she was modeling and earning a living doing it, and you're not allowed to do that on a tourist visa, and they cannot explain that other than if she was basically breaking the U.S. immigration law. See, my view is I think U.S. immigration law is too strict. So I don't have so much of a problem with Melania doing that, except that I think it's hypocrisy that she did that.
Well, why don't they change the law? I mean,
I would change the law. Well, I agree with you there. Let's change the law.
Then change the law. Then do it legally. It's the same thing with all the stuff that's going on. It's done illegally, unconstitutionally. If they want to do it different than the way it's stated in the
Yeah, not unconstitutionally, but it is. Look, here's the thing. I think our immigration laws are really silly, to be honest with you. I know that sometimes if you ask for a family member to come here, they're just now processing applications in some cases from 1989. You could have asked for your, you know, 2-year-old nephew to come here, and that person's now doing the math, 29 years old. So what I would like to do is immigration reform, which interestingly, John McCain used to support. George Bush supported immigration reform. It used to be a bipartisan thing. I fear that all this rhetoric from Donald Trump has actually made immigration reform harder to do.
Okay, maybe. What about the TPP? This is, you know, they're going to give the internet away.
I'll tell you what.
Are you okay with that?
I got to take a break, but I will answer your question when we get back, and then there are a bunch of other callers. This is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. TPP is complicated, folks. I'll give my quick explanation when we come back.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Not a lot of time left explaining the TPP. It's very complex. The short answer is I think that rich countries we can compete against, Japan and countries like that, Singapore, but I don't like when Vietnam and other countries that are dictatorships that underpay their workers undercut American wages. That's my view on TPP. I will give Tom from North Carolina credit. He gave me policy reasons and not just a bunch of hatred. Terrell has been holding on a long time from Denver. Welcome to the show, Terrell. Line 3.
Hey, how's it going?
Going good.
This is the moment. This is the moment that they've been preparing for their whole life. Ever since the Civil War, this is the South Shall Rise Again moment for the Republican Party. This
yeah.
is what they've been preparing for. This is what they've been preparing for. This is what they've done ever since the Civil Rights Movement.
I hear you. I do think
the AM radio died.
Yeah, I do think the heart of Trumpism is racism. I really do. I think that when you look into it, it isn't about policy. God knows it isn't about emails. It's just about racism. Thanks for your call, Terrell. Sorry I didn't give you more time. We'll talk more next week, hopefully. Jake in Eureka, California, line 1. My last caller. Go ahead.
Hi, Mark. Regarding Trump's business and political ties to Russia, it's long past time for him to register as an agent of a foreign government.
That's
the American people deserve to know how much money he owes to those Russian banks. And obviously, if he gets into office, he's going to be beholden to Vladimir Putin. And considering the fact that Putin is the enemy of the United States, do we want a president of the United States, Trump, who's beholden to Vladimir Putin?
I'm surprised that fewer people haven't brought this up. I know Barbara Boxer has called for it. Good for her. It's interesting. The Republicans control Congress, so they can ask all these questions about Hillary's emails. But whether or not someone running for president of the United States could be in the control of one of our greatest enemies. Remember, Donald Trump's companies own billions of dollars in debt, and we know American banks won't lend to him. He gets money almost certainly from Russian banks, but we don't know because of the tax returns. Could we have Putin controlling the president of the United States? This is like some bad spy movie, but it's a very, very important question, and I hope to God he's asked that question in the debates. Thank you, all the callers, even the ones I disagreed with. This is Mark Levine. We'll be back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, for another edition of The Inside Scoop.